You know, growing up as a Christian, I was always frustrated by all of the things that we couldn't do. That's what everybody talked about as Christians. You can't do this and you can't do that. And then as I matured in my faith, recognizing, you know, there are a lot of things that we can do, and here's why we can do them. It's really a change in mindset, a different vantage point or a perspective of, you know, because we've been granted grace, I now feel like I want to do the best that I can for my Savior. So when I think of grace, for me, it's a drastic change in mindset from feeling like I have to be good enough for God to love me. To really, it's where, because God loved me so much, you know, and gave His Son for me, I have to do my part. You know, I want to live the best life that I can. I want to be the best dad that I can be. I want to be the best husband that I can be. I want to be the best employee for my employer that I can be. Really, because the God that we serve isn't a lukewarm God.
As I've been growing in grace, God's really been teaching me how to focus on the things that I can do for Him, rather than thinking about the list of things that I can't do, you know, don't do this and don't do that. He's shown me that really having freedom and grace is focusing on what I can do for Him and for His kingdom. And as a teacher, I really have a lot of opportunities to do that, both with students and with other teachers. I meet a lot of people who don't know God. And so I'm so thankful that I have the opportunity to really be able to show them God's love and God's grace.
I'm really fortunate in the fact that I grew up in a church-going family, and I have a lot of good memories of that. But a lot of my memories are also focused upon harsh teaching and a real performance-oriented approach to Scripture. It wasn't until I was a young adult that I really learned about grace and what it meant to have a relationship with God. Those were new concepts to me. But I'll tell you, once you come to understand and experience God's grace, there's a lot of freedom and a lot of peace.
Well, good morning, everyone. So very good to be with you, as always. It's an honor and a privilege for me to stand before you as we open up God's Word together. I have a special introduction I'd like to make. I'd like to introduce Marisol Arias. Marisol is right down here on the front row, and this week, she gained her citizenship to become an American citizen. Originally, she's from El Salvador, and what a great process, and Marisol, we are so thankful to have you here. You know, for the last few weeks, we've been talking about this word, grace. We've been talking about how grace, it gives us the opportunity to forgive us of our sins. We've talked about how grace has the power to transform us. But today, I want to spend a little time talking about the freedom that comes from having a relationship with Jesus Christ and the grace that we get to share in. Because the reality is that we all make mistakes. But the question that I have for you this morning is, what do you do with those mistakes of your past? Do you hold on to the guilt? Do you hold on to the shame that's associated with those sinful acts that you do? Do you allow them to shape how you feel about yourself and how you feel about your relationship with God? Because, of course, that's exactly what the enemy wants to do. He wants to cause us to question our relationship with God. He wants to bring up those questions so that we might doubt whether or not we can be useful in God's kingdom. Those questions often come when we're just beginning to step out in our faith, you know, as maybe you're starting to talk to maybe a coworker, maybe a friend about your relationship with God, and it's Satan that whispers in your ear, "Are you sure you should mention you're a Christian? I mean, after what you've done, and after the things you've said, are you sure you can teach a Bible class? Are you sure you can go on a mission trip? I mean, are you sure God even loves you at all?" Now, please understand, it's not God that brings up our past. I mean, God never beats us up with our past mistakes. No, when we go to God and we ask for forgiveness, you know what He does? He forgives us of those sins. In fact, as the Bible tells us, you know, as far as the east is from the west, so far does God remove our transgressions from us. And so not only does God forgive us of those past mistakes, but he also forgets about them. But the problem is, sometimes I still remember the things that I've done. I still remember the times that I have messed up. But here's a perspective. If our past drives us into God's presence, it has served its purpose. Did you hear that? If our past drives us into the presence of God, it has served a purpose. You see, God can take our greatest mistakes and he can turn those around to be some of our greatest strengths. I mean, because God is the great comeback king. I mean, think through scripture. Think about different stories of men and women throughout the Bible. I mean, the Bible's very open, very clear about some of the mistakes that they made. I mean, I think about Abraham. You know, Abraham had a problem with lying, but yet God made him the father of a great, great nation. I think about Moses, how Moses was this great leader for the children of Israel, but yet when Moses was a younger man, committed murder. In that huge mistake that he made when he was a younger man, God drove him right into his presence. Think about David and Bathsheba. Sure, God could have kept them apart. God could have kept them from having an affair, but no, he used that to drive them into his presence. Think about the Apostle Peter. I mean, Peter was one of Jesus' close companions, but yet in that hour when Jesus needed him most, Peter denied Christ. You see, God takes our mistakes and he turns those around and he makes good use out of those. I mean, God is the great comeback king. He takes the broken pieces of our lives and he makes us whole. He sets us free. Now, if you don't believe me, go ahead and open up your Bibles to Philippians, this little letter in the New Testament. We're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Now, last week, I kind of mentioned this in our lesson, but this week, I want to spend a little bit more time talking about this section of Scripture as it talks about how we can find freedom in God's grace. Let's take a look and see what Paul has to say for us here. Starting in verse 3, he says, "I thank my God every time I remember you. For all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from that first day until now, being confident that he that began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ." He says, "It's right for me to feel this way about you because I have you in my heart. Whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. And God can testify how I long for you with the affection of Christ Jesus." And then Paul begins a prayer. He says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and be pure and blameless until the day of Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." Now understand, there is no shortcut to maturity, okay? I mean, for each one of us, it takes us years for us to grow into adulthood. And the same is true for growing fruit. You know, for fruit to grow and mature and to ripen, it takes a full growing season. And the same is true for God's spiritual fruit. God's fruit of the Spirit in our life takes a lifetime for us to cultivate a Christ-like attitude. You see, just like physical growth is a process, spiritual growth is a process also. And here's the thing I want you to remember about grace, that grace offers us the freedom to grow. Grace offers us freedom to grow. You see, when we begin a relationship with Jesus Christ, we're not automatically changed. I mean, from God's perspective, we are changed. But inside, you know, some of our old habits, some of our old mistakes, we don't automatically change those. And so God offers us this grace that that during our time where we are growing and developing to be more and more like Jesus, it's God's grace that covers us in that time. I mean, when you think about the growing process of fruit, like I said, that it takes a full season of growing for fruit to really mature and ripen. And if fruit is picked too quickly, the fruit is not allowed to gain its full flavor. In fact, you might know this, here in America, when tomatoes are picked, they are actually picked before they are ripened and when they're still green. And they do that because when they are shipped to the store, that way they won't bruise. But right before they go to market, they are sprayed with a CO2 gas, which instantly turns them red. Now, the interesting thing about that is, you know, those gas-ripened tomatoes, they're edible. I mean, they're good. That's what we see in our grocery store. But yet, when you compare that to a naturally grown tomato that's allowed to grow on the vine to its full flavor and its full maturity, I mean, when you compare those two, there's just no comparison in the taste. And the same is true in our spiritual lives. All too often, you know, we believe that, when we make a decision to begin this relationship with Jesus Christ, oftentimes we want that just to happen just very rapidly. We want our relationship to grow very fast, but yet God doesn't really care about how fast our relationship grows. He's more concerned with how strong our relationship grows. You see, growth is it's a natural process. It takes time. And that's why Paul writes to us here from Philippians 1:6, and he says, being confident that he that began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. You see, what Paul is saying to the church there at Philippi, and he's saying it to us today also, is that he's saying, I know you're not perfect. I know you're going to make some mistakes. Because when you begin that relationship with God, there is this growth process. And he's saying, I'm going to trust that God's grace is going to cover you during that time until you meet Jesus face to face. But yet sometimes in the church, we don't always allow that process to happen. We rush that process. You know, when somebody makes a decision to begin their relationship with God, sometimes, maybe unintentionally, we put a lot of pressure for them to just automatically change. Just automatically change everything they've done and all the habits they've formed and the relationships they've had. And we put this pressure on them that suddenly everything is going to change. But unfortunately, that's unrealistic. Sometimes we put that pressure on our kids. Sometimes we put that pressure on ourselves. But here's the thing. God's grace allows us time to grow. It allows us time to mature because we know it's not a quick process. It's something that takes time, and God has said, it's all right. You have got time to grow in your relationship with me. So not only does God's grace offer us freedom to grow, but God's grace also offers us freedom to stop pretending. You ever get tired of pretending? I mean, pretending that you've got it all together. Pretending that you never have any doubts or fears. Pretending that you're good enough to deserve God's grace. Boy, I get tired of pretending. Because the reality is, I'm not a perfect person. I make a lot of mistakes. But yet, sometimes we like to act like, you know, we've got it all together. I mean, we're so good at that here at church. As we see one another, you know, we're talking to each other out in the lobby or maybe in Bible class, and we say, hey, how's it going? You know, how was your week? And we just have this automatic response, oh, it was great, terrific, you know, life couldn't be better. But yet, sometimes at that very same moment, we're hurting inside. But yet, we've gotten in such a habit of pretending that we don't let our guard down. I think that's because a lot of times we don't know how to extend grace to one another. Maybe because we don't feel like grace has been extended to us. I think that's one of the problems in our culture today, and yes, even in our church culture. I think one of the things that we've gotten into a habit of doing is we pass judgment on one another. We don't often do like what we learned about in James a few weeks ago. Remember where James tells us we need to be quick to listen, slow to speak. All too often, we do that just the opposite way. I mean, we're quick to give our opinion. We're quick to talk about our agenda. We're quick to let other folks know how we're feeling. But sometimes we do that in a way that we don't think about the person that's receiving that message. We oftentimes make some quick snap judgments and say some things that don't offer a whole lot of grace to other folks. You see, grace, God created this earth for us to share life together. And that's also how he created the church, so that we could share life together. Now, Alcoholics Anonymous came from really a discovery of one man in his personal life. His name was Bill Wilson, and until he met a counselor, Dr. Bill Smith, he had a hard time staying sober. In fact, the longest he had gone for many, many years was about 6 months. And one time he was on a business trip, and the business deal had gone bad, and he found himself back at his hotel. He was angry, he was upset, he was depressed, and all he could think was, I need a drink. And so old habits die hard, and so as he was feeling those feelings, he immediately headed downstairs. He knew right where the hotel bar was at. But on his way, something stopped him in his tracks. A thought came to him. He thought, you know what? I don't need another drink. What I need is another alcoholic to understand what I'm feeling. And so instead of going to the hotel bar, he ended up stopping off at the hotel phones. And he picked up the phone and he called his counselor, Bill Smith. And they began to talk. And from that conversation and from that situation, Alcoholics Anonymous was born. Now, Philip Yancey made a statement about this. And, you know, Philip Yancey said, we in the church, we need to unashamedly admit that I don't need to keep going on sinning. What I need to do is I need to find some other people that are tired of pretending, that'll be honest. I need to find some other folks in my life that will hold me accountable, that will help keep me on the right path. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about here in Philippians 1:7. You notice as he says, it's right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. Whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. And God can testify how I long for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. You see, what Jesus is saying here is he's saying we're all in this together. You see, we're all in the same boat. And he knows that if we're going to stop pretending, we've got to do a couple things. Number one, we've got to learn how to extend grace to one another. We need to extend grace to one another so we'll allow ourselves time to grow. But we also need to extend grace to one another so we'll stop pretending, so we can be honest with each other. So we can actually admit, you know what, I've got some problems. And with God's help and with your help, you know, I think I can do better. Now you might be wondering, well, how do you do that in a church this size? How do you do that in a church with, you know, 1,500 folks? How do you have open and honest and transparent relationships? Well, you don't do that with everyone. But the way that you make that work is you find a few other folks. A few other folks that you can share life with. Folks that you can be honest with. You can share both the good and the bad of what's going on in your life. You care for each other. You love each other. Now you might be thinking, well, that sounds easy, but how do I do that? Well, not too long ago, one of our church members came up to me and they said, well, hey, We've been going to Bible class for a little while, and we've met some friends that were there, and we were just wondering, would it be all right if we kind of got together and, you know, like on Sunday nights and started praying together and maybe started a Bible study? And I thought for a second, would that be all right? Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, that's what church is all about. In fact, that's why we offer you so many different opportunities. It's our prayer that as you interact in Bible class or maybe in a ministry or maybe going on a mission trip, you'll begin to rub elbows with some folks here, and you'll begin to develop some deep and meaningful relationships so that you can begin to grow in your relationship with each other. You can hold each other accountable. You can be honest with each other. You can care for each other. Now, let me be rather obvious here for just a moment. I want to speak very plainly. A couple of things. Number one, I hope you'll never wait on the church or wait on a ministry program to grow in your relationships together, okay? From time to time, we'll offer different seasons of small groups, but that doesn't mean that you can't do that on your own. That doesn't mean that you can't form those relationships. That doesn't mean you can't pray for each other. That doesn't mean you can't study the Bible together. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And then the second thing is, please don't ever ask for permission to do good things. Don't ever ask for permission to love one another, to care for one another, to get into one another's lives. Because that's exactly what God calls each and every one of us to do. He calls us to extend grace to one another so that we can have time to grow. He calls us to extend grace to one another so that we can stop pretending, we can be honest with one another. But look at what else Paul has to say here as he continues on in this prayer, starting in Philippians 1, verse 9. He says, I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you'll keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. Did you hear what Paul's saying here? He's saying, you need time to allow your relationship with God to grow. Continuing on, he says, for I want you to understand what really matters, so that you can live a pure and blameless life until the day of Christ's return. Again, he's saying, okay, it's our job to help one another. I mean, we know we can't do it on our own, so instead we have to be accountable to one another, to stop pretending and extend grace to one another. And then look at this last part. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. This will bring much glory and praise to God. The last part of grace that we're talking about is trust. You see, grace offers us the freedom to trust God. Now, do you remember that that story from Matthew chapter 14? Matthew 14, Jesus' disciples are out on the water. They're out in a boat. And while they're out in the middle of the night, they suddenly begin to see Jesus walking on the water. And he's walking out there to them. And of course, impetuous Peter, he calls out to the Lord. He says, Jesus, can I come out there to you? Jesus says, well, come on, Peter. And Peter climbs out of the boat and he begins to walk on the lake. Now, can you picture this? I mean, here's Peter, this rough fisherman, and he's out there, and he's walking on the water, and I imagine his face, he's just amazed, and he's looking around, he's looking at Jesus, and he probably turns back and looks at his friends in the boat. And somewhere along the way, Peter begins to notice the wind and the waves, and he begins to take his eyes off of Jesus, and he begins to think about what he is doing. And he begins to sink. And he just tries harder. He tries harder to walk on the water. And you know what happens? He continues to sink. Until he's willing to cry out to Jesus. Jesus reaches down and he lifts him up. He helps him back in the boat. You know, for some of us today, we spend our entire lives trying to walk on water by ourselves. But you know what? It's not a matter of trying harder. It's a matter of where your attention is focused. You see, if you continue to struggle with sin, if you continue to struggle with different temptations in your life, thinking that you can conquer those on your own, you'll just continue to sink. No, Jesus asks us if we would just trust in Him, if we would just put our hope, if we just put our faith in Him, He will carry us. Now, sometimes that's difficult. That's difficult because when we cry out to God, sometimes He begins to tell us what we need to do in this process. And sometimes that can be rather challenging because sometimes God will tell us to do some things that we're not always comfortable with. In fact, you might be thinking, what is God telling me right now in my life? What's He telling me that I need to do to get out of the boat? He might be telling you that, you know, if you're going to maybe get rid of some of those temptations in your life, if you're going to get rid of some of that sin in your life, you need to begin to circle up with a close group of brothers and sisters in Christ that will hold you accountable. You need to, instead of trying to always to fix your own situation, you need to trust in God. Maybe today he's telling you, instead of always focusing on your own problems, some of your own challenges, maybe instead you need to take your eyes off of yourself and you need to begin looking at other people, looking at how you can serve them, how you can help them. Maybe today he's challenging you to think about participating in a ministry kind of like we've got here at First Colony, Celebrate Recovery. Celebrate Recovery is a wonderful ministry, meets every Friday night over in our education wing. And I love going to Celebrate because it's a group of people that has learned to be honest. I mean, they've stopped pretending that they can fix all their problems and that they can fix things themselves. Instead, they've turned all their dependence over to God, and they count on each other for support to help out in those hurts and those different habits and those hang-ups that we all have a tough time getting over. Maybe today God is saying, you know what? Maybe you need to go try Celebrate out. Maybe you need to get in a small group. Maybe you need to get involved in a ministry. Maybe you need to get out of the boat and really try to start walking towards Jesus. Now, maybe today you're experiencing a spiritual setback. Maybe you've done some things in your life that you're having a hard time getting past. I hope that you'll be thinking about God's grace, because sometimes it's our mistakes that drive us back into God's presence so He can then begin to use us. But that begins with grace. It begins by allowing ourselves the freedom in the time that we need to grow and mature in our lives. That also begins by being honest with one another and stopping, you know, pretending like we've got it all together, being honest and sharing what's really going on in our life. And of course, it comes with trusting God. Now, this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to respond. If you would, go ahead and take out your communication card. We talk about this each week. This communication card gives you an opportunity to tell us what's going on in your life. And Randy already spent a little time talking about that this morning. But there's a couple things that are unique about this morning that you can do. You'll notice as you fill out the front side of the information of that card, we need that just to know how you're doing. But then if you turn over on the back side of that, you'll notice there is a place where if you'd like more information about being a part of our Celebrate Recovery ministry, you can just check check that box off there. You can write your email or make sure we've got your correct information. Now, when you do that, that's not signing you up for anything. It doesn't mean you're committing to anything. But that's just saying, hey, I want a little bit more information about this ministry that I keep hearing about, Celebrate Recovery. We'd love to tell you more about that. Randy also spent some time talking about our prayer requests. We continue to get more and more of those prayer requests because you're sharing with us what's going on in your life, and that is such a great thing. You also have an opportunity to maybe say, hey, I'm ready to take my relationship with God to another level. Maybe I'm ready to begin a Bible study. Maybe I'm ready to place membership here at First Colony. If you're ready to take that next step, we hope and we pray that you'd let us know about that, because we want to be here with you, to walk with you each and every step of the way. Now, in just a moment, I'm going to say a prayer, and then we're going to close out our time together with a song. But after our prayer, if you would, just take those communication cards, pass those to the ends of the aisle, and they're going to be picked up during that last song. Everybody, let's bow together and pray. Our Father God, as we bow before you this morning, Father, we come to you and we say thank you. Thank you for the opportunity that you give us to experience your love and your mercy and your grace. Father, the blessing of experiencing a life lived with you is an incredible joy, and it's great freedom. Father, we pray that this morning, that as each of us are growing closer to you, Father, we pray that we would understand it's not about how fast we grow. It's more about how strong we grow. We know that you want us to grow closer to you in every way. And so, Father, we pray that we would allow ourselves to have that time to grow. Father, we also pray that we'd begin to be honest with ourselves and with each other. We'd stop pretending, so that we can trust in you in every decision that we make in our life. Father, thank you so much for the grace that you extend to us, that washes our sins away and makes us whole and complete. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.